Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Friday, absolutely jammed. Show of the week, show of the year. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It is great to have you here. I'll take my two picks top of next hour. One of them, I think, is the best bet of the playoffs. I know I said that about Baltimore last weekend, but I really feel that. Everybody from Rich Ornberger, Peter King, Logan Ryan of the Titans is going to be on the show today. Young receiver for the New York, Darius Slayton for the New York Giants. A great, great young receiver for the Giants emerged this year. And Joy Taylor joining us as well. Joy, how are you?
I'm great.
Can't wait for the weekend. Very excited.
It's a very big weekend coming up, yes.
So I believe that I'm comfortable with certain risks. Okay, I'm comfortable with certain risks. And I think when you have a lead in your industry, Tiger Woods, he changed clubs because he was so dominant. I used to work at a company called ESPN. They did this thing called ESPN the Phone, and they got a lot of heat for losing $50 million. But ESPN, there was no FS1. They didn't have a rival in the cable industry. NBC wasn't there yet. CBS didn't have it. Fox didn't have it. They were making $8 billion a year. And ESPN owed their shareholders the opportunity to get into the phone business, because if it won and it hit, it would too become an $8 billion a year industry. It didn't. It lost $50 million. Who gives a rip? When you're a company making $8 billion a year, that's a rounding error, but they owed it. Vince McMahon, the XFL, research shows spring football can work in America. NFL teams don't carry a third quarterback. You'll have quarterbacks for it. Now, you have cable companies in sports fighting for content. Spring football, he runs a $1 billion-a-year industry in wrestling. He owes it to himself to try spring football again here with Fox. So what if it whiffs? He loses $200 million. His company makes $9 billion a year globally. Who gives a rip? This is why McDonald's tried McLobster and McDonald's tried McPizza. They have such a lead on Wendy's and Burger King. This, and I also think this works with bands. U2, you know, Hall of Famers, set Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, legends. They're all worth $400 million net worth. So they went in with Apple, and they totally rolled the dice on this thing where they didn't tell anybody, and all of a sudden you woke up one day, and on your iTunes, you had a U2 song that you could never delete. It bombed. Bono apologized. But they're still getting into the Hall of Fame. Eddie Murphy, Pluto Nash, had so many credits. He rolled the dice in an action comedy set in 2087. It was a huge swing, and it bombed. Eddie Murphy owed Eddie Murphy. U2 owed U2 those risks. When you're a legend, swing, baby, swing. Aaron Rodgers has become safe. Led the NFL in throwaways. He doesn't throw any interceptions. His QBR in the last 4 years, he's not a top 10 quarterback. We know he's talented, but Aaron has to take big swings this weekend. Last week, Minnesota played scared. Kirk Cousins checked down. No big shots down the field. Two run centric. You don't beat Mike Tyson until you can get Mike Tyson off you. And you get him off you by doing what Lennox Lewis and Evander Holyfield did. Swinging big early. Aaron Rodgers has become too safe. Whatever it is, 4 or 5 years ago, he became paralyzed by not throwing picks and throwing it away. You got to throw Aaron to more than Devontae Adams. You're going to have to throw to, you know, somebody beyond that. Because San Francisco, their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, is 3-0 this year when he's had two or more interceptions. Garoppolo has a better roster and will take big swings. I've said this about Jimmy G. The gap between Jimmy G and Aaron Rodgers is not nearly as big as you think, and I'm not sure there is one. Because Jimmy G understands when you have a defense as good as I have and you have a coach like Kyle Shanahan, you got to swing, baby. You got to take some risks. You owe it to yourself. Aaron Rodgers has become safe. Ooh, he doesn't throw picks. Who gives a rip? In the only year Aaron Rodgers had double-digit interceptions, he won the Super Bowl. He used to have a little gunslinger in him. He no longer does. Patrick Mahomes does. Lamar Jackson's got a little gunslinger. Carson Wentz does. Aaron doesn't, and you're not beating San Francisco unless you roll the dice. By the way, Aaron, you throw three picks this weekend, and you lose a wild one. You're still going to the Hall of Fame first ballot. You're not losing your State Farm commercials. You were 6-0 in division. It's not you still the best quarterback in your division. Chicago can't figure out quarterback. You know, Detroit's quarterback's banged up, and it's Kirk Cousins who you beat twice this year. But I think once you have, once you're U2 or Apple or Eddie Murphy, a big band, a big star, a big company, McDonald's, and you're already in. You got your net worth, you got your Super Bowl, you got your Hall of Fame, you got your commercials, you own your division. Swing, baby. Take some big cuts. And Aaron's become incredibly safe. No chance to win if he does it this weekend. All right, let me talk about Andy Reid, who you know I have great affection for. I think he's amazing. And I have defended Andy Reid for a long time. Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback. And Patrick Mahomes said yesterday, he said, I think I want to win this more for Andy Reid than I want to do win it for me. This is cool.
It'd be amazing, obviously. I mean, the work and that he's put in every single day, every single where he's been at. I mean, he's had success, and so obviously we want to get him that Super Bowl. But we understand it's a process. We understand that first off we gotta come in, have a great practice today, and then play great this weekend, and then try to give ourselves a chance to be in that game and get a chance to get him that trophy.
One of the reasons I've defended Andy Reid because he had Donovan McNabb. He had Jeff Garcia and Michael Vick. Solid, not spectacular. And he faced Kurt Warner in his prime. He faced Aaron Rodgers. He lost once to the Aaron Rodgers Packers team that won the Super Bowl. He lost to Drew Brees, an all-time Hall of Fame quarterback in New Orleans. He lost to in Philadelphia. He went to a Super Bowl and lost to Brady in his prime and Belichick. He lost to the greatest show on turf. Remember that team? He lost to that team in Philadelphia. He lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2002 defense, which may be the best defense ever. He was losing with Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, Jeff Garcia, good, not spectacular quarterbacks, to legendary defenses and legendary offenses and legendary quarterbacks. Then he has Alex Smith, and he goes over to the AFC. And he loses to Tom Brady again, and he loses to Andrew Luck in the playoffs, and he loses to Big Ben and the Steelers in the playoffs, and I'm like, and then he loses to New England in overtime, and I'm like, okay, with Alex Smith. So I have defended him because I think he's had B quarterbacks, and I'm not saying he hasn't had a couple of ugly losses. He lost to Jake Delhomme over in Philadelphia. Okay, he had a better team, and he lost to Marcus Mariota in the game he should have won. I'm not saying he hasn't had an ugly loss. But never forget this. Jimmy Johnson with the Cowboys, 2 Super Bowls, 7-1 in the playoffs because he had Troy Aikman. How did Jimmy Johnson do in Miami? Well, he had a winning record, but he had a losing playoff record. Why? Because Dan Marino was old and broken down. And Troy Aikman in his prime is way better than Dan Marino out of his prime. So even Jimmy Johnson, who just got elected into the Hall of Fame or put into the Hall of Fame, you go into the playoffs with the second-best quarterback, you're not, or the second-best roster, you're not going to win. But this weekend it changes. Patrick Mahomes is now the Kurt Warner, the Breeze, the Brady, the Big Ben. That Andy's got the best quarterback. Andy's going to have the best quarterback for the next 7 to 10 years as long as he coaches in these AFC games and often in the Super Bowl too. Because the NFC may never have, you know, Russell Wilson's up there, but Patrick Mahomes is here. It's a gap between Patrick and 95% of the quarterbacks in this league. In fact, I think there's a big gap between Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, who everybody loves. So I have defended him forever, but now the tables are turning. Now he's got the quarterback, and now if Andy loses this weekend to Ryan Tannehill, now you can hammer him. Now the gloves, you can take them off. I'll criticize Andy if Monday I'm coming to this show and they lose at home to Ryan Tannehill. Because for years I've said with Andy, give me a break on this. You're losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense. You're losing to the greatest show on turf. You're losing to Belichick. You're losing to, you know, you're losing to Breeze and Kurt Warner. I got no problem with those players. You know, you didn't have the quarterback. Now you do. Pressure's on.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Green Bay at San Francisco, a game I think could get out of hand. I think Green Bay is a 9-7 team masquerading as 14-3. We see this all the time. You play in a bad division. You have an easier schedule. I said, when I look at Green Bay this year, the most impressive win they've had all year was in week two against Minnesota when they jumped out to a big lead. Seattle last week outscored them in the second half. Seattle was down two offensive linemen, third string center. They had no running backs. It's not, and they struggled with them. They struggled to put them away. You see this all the time where you there's a team every year that makes the playoffs or every other year with a big shiny record, but they feel more 9-7 and 10-6 than they do 14-3. Whereas San Francisco is about a field goal and two plays away from being 16-1. And Aaron's never won a playoff game when he's a touchdown or more underdog. He was talking about the game. He said, hey, the pressure's not on us. We're not supposed to win this week. We're supposed to get whacked.
You know, I think if you look at this game, they're definitely favored by, 7.5, Tom? Is that right? So they're, you know, obviously expected to hold court and win. And people know and are talking about how we played the last time. So I think if you look at pressure, the pressure's in a certain place, and we should be nice and loose.
I don't think he's wrong. I generally think the pressure is on teams that are favored, and especially Kansas City and San Francisco. You're at home. You're favored big. I think he's probably right. I hope he's loose, and I hope he takes risks because he's become very risk-averse. You know, it's interesting, though. He is a great talent, but in 13 years, he's had one great playoff run. It's very funny. When great teams or great players struggle in certain situations, there's always an answer for it. I'll give you an example. Roger Federer has won 8 Wimbledons, 6 Australian Opens, 5 U.S. Opens, greatest male tennis player, arguably forever, but 1 French Open.
What?
Well, it's very explainable. Rafi Nadal is the greatest clay court player ever, and it's not close. And he didn't have to play Rafi the one time he won the French Open. You can explain Federer's inability to win the French Open. He's got 20 Grand Slam events. He crushes. He can't win the French Open because it happens to be one of his contemporary is the greatest clay court player ever, Rafi Nadal. I'll give you another example. Phil Mickelson's a top 10 golf talent of all time, maybe top 5. It took him 13 years to win a major. It took him forever to win a major. He's only got 5 majors. And you're like, why? Well, because the greatest golfer, arguably of all time, was in his prime when Mickelson was in his prime. And for that 10 to 12 year prime in golf, because golf will wear you down physically. You start the wrists, the back, shoulders start falling apart, especially the wrist and the back. In the middle of his prime, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Tiger Woods was a comet. He was winning everything. The Colorado Rockies hit better at home historically. Why? It's the altitude. You can explain most stuff. Here's one that it just doesn't make any sense. People think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback talent ever. Not best quarterback, not most productive, but greatest talent. He's lousy on the road. In games as which he started, he's a 500 road quarterback. Now think about that. His career road record, it's sub 500 in the playoffs. That I can kind of understand. You're facing the best teams. But look at notable quarterbacks on the road that have played in the same era. Tom Brady's 40 games over 500 on the road. Peyton Manning's 40 games over 500. Tony Romo's 37-22. Big Ben's way over 500. Russell Wilson's way over 500. Drew Brees at dome quarterback's way over 500. Aaron Rodgers is 500. He's a one game away from being 500. Why? How? That doesn't make any sense. My takeaway on even this year, his passer rating's over 100 at home. It's below 90 on the road. Why? There's no Rafi Nadal here. There's no Tiger Woods here to explain it. Why? In fact, when is he best on the road? When he's comfortable at Detroit, at Chicago, at Minnesota. I think this is explainable because I think Aaron Rodgers is a little prickly. He's a conductor at home in Lambeau. Quiet, please, the scoreboard says. Aaron when forced to be uncomfortable, struggles with it. Peyton didn't. Breeze doesn't. Romo doesn't. I think as Aaron is aged, he is playing safer football to protect his passer rating. I really believe this. And I think he's a guy that likes what he likes. He won't throw to you if he doesn't like you. He's a little prickly to deal with as a quarterback. And if you make him a little uncomfortable, he's not the same guy. He's not good with discomfort, which I don't think bodes well for Green Bay this weekend because the Niners' defensive front is in the business of making everybody incredibly uncomfortable. So I think there is pressure on Aaron Rodgers this weekend. Deal with some discomfort, dude, because all your peers don't become 500 quarterbacks when they get out of their comfort zone. Breeze doesn't, Romo didn't, Ben doesn't, Peyton doesn't, Tom doesn't. You do. You are not a good road quarterback, and that's going to stick on you, and you can almost always explain great players with a weird stat. Nadal, why can't Federer win the French Open? Oh, Nadal, why didn't Phil win more majors? Oh, Tiger, why doesn't Aaron win on the road? He's an average quarterback on the road. His passer ratings average, wins-loss average, why? Plays it safe, doesn't like discomfort, so there is pressure on Aaron. There's real pressure on him. He's got to learn to play with some discomfort. He's got to take some big swings. Otherwise, they're getting blown out. They're getting blown out in Santa Clara.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Former NFL offensive lineman Dante Scarnecchia and the Patriots is where it all started for him. He's now doing radio in San Diego, and we get to bring him up a few more times here before the end of the season, and we love him. Rich Orenberger, let's bring him on. Last week made the bold prediction of Tennessee over Baltimore. It's funny. There's a thing called Warren Buffett, the investor, talks about this. Inner scoreboard and outer scoreboard. A lot of guys talk crap. You know, guys are crap talkers.
Oh, yeah.
And Warren Buffett says, if you've got a strong inner scoreboard, you don't care what people think of you. Nick Saban talks about this. So Baltimore's outer scoreboard was, we've all in, baby. And then they got into the game and got down, and they panicked a little.
Right.
Kansas City says, we don't care what people think about us. They got down, and their inner scoreboard was, what do we care? Let's go back to your prediction. I think Baltimore had some deep concerns about Lamar that they didn't advertise. And the minute they got down, the inner scoreboard was crap. Kansas City's inner scoreboard was, we have zero concerns. So go back to your predictions. Were you surprised that Baltimore, it felt a little panicky even in the first half?
I wasn't surprised because really what you saw was the light of day. They had a couple of corners that still need sweeping, and you can't address those corners mid-season. Lamar Jackson, for everything that he is, there are still some limitations to his game, and it's not fair to say, and he can't fix them, because he probably will. He's that talented. But there still are some limitations to his game. And also, he's still young, so some of those throws over the middle, they sail on him because – you know, you get nervous and you put a little too much pepper. And I think the game plan really stuck to what they did well all season long, which was trying to highlight his running ability and start with the run game and then use his throwing as a compliment, but they got behind too fast. And then all of a sudden the light of day is shining its light as bright as it possibly can on all these corners that still had a couple cobwebs. And that's what you saw. You saw an offensive team start to wilt under the pressure of, boy, we now have to play from behind against a very physical football team, and they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough to get it done against the Titans last week.
You know, we are in the business. I talk a lot of football. NFL is about 62% of my show, and I usually talk about quarterbacks. And most of the great quarterbacks I love, and most of the guys that are bad, I don't. I would say the exception to it is I've been more critical of Aaron Rodgers than other people. I just talked about his road record, which is for his contemporaries is bizarrely average. I have noticed something else with Aaron, and I had kind of a theory this week. Aaron's gotten more safe over the last 4 to 5 years. He's leading the league in throwaways. He now will throw to nobody not named Devontae Adams. And I do not think you can beat great teams like San Francisco or Kansas City playing it safe. You got to take some shots. And he is certainly going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
No doubt.
He's on Green Bay's Mount Rushmore. He's got the State Farm commercials, $250 million in net worth or whatever it is. Aaron, you got to take some big swings this weekend. Garoppolo's, I think, 3-0 with two or more picks this year. When you have a defense as good as – he doesn't have the legacy. But when you have a defense like Jimmy does, you got to take some big cuts. And is it – this is one of my things about Aaron. I think in the last 4 or 5 years, it's like he's protecting something. He's gotten a little too safe for me. Is that fair?
Is it fair? Yeah, look, I mean, young men play chicken, right, where you stare down an opponent and you say, I'm not blinking, are you? As you get older, I mean, especially at positions where if you persevere, if you stay durable, your team has a better chance, it's actually better, it's smarter to play it safer, to throw some more of those balls away, to take the slide as opposed to taking the hit. And so Aaron Rodgers, like many of the great quarterbacks who've lasted in this league beyond their mid-30s, is starting to acquiesce to that thought process. I need to preserve myself for our team to have the best chance. So, yeah, it's fair what you're saying, but at the same token, this is the maturity of the position. This is what all of these guys have to learn. In fact, post-game, after the Packers-Ravens game, he said to Lamar Jackson, hey, maybe mix in some sliding a little bit. Because he's forecasting for Lamar. He's saying, this is what I've learned. I want you to inherit that too. I want you to understand what you're up against, because you could be great for a long time. But back to Aaron, yeah, I mean, in this game especially, it may have to be about him, because that is a physical, rough defense. That's a rough group on the defensive side. Robert Saleh is leading for the 49ers. So I think you're going to have to take some chunks in order to get the win.
I'm a huge fan of Andy Reid, and I think mostly with Jeff Garcia-level quarterbacks, McNabb, good players, Alex Smith, good players.
Sure.
Not Hall of Famers, but good, respectable guys. You know, he lost to Kurt Warner twice, and he lost to Aaron Rodgers, the Super Bowl team, and he lost to Brady multiple times. And you start looking at all these guys that he faced, and you're like, well, yeah, he lost to the Packer team with Aaron Rodgers that was on fire, and Breeze in New Orleans, and Kurt Warner, and the best defense, the Tampa Bay defense.
Oh, yeah.
And the greatest show on turf, and Andrew Luck. And you're like, okay, I can live with this. He had a couple of ugly losses, but he almost always had a quarterback deficit in Philly and Kansas City. Now he doesn't. So this is the first time this weekend. I'm like, Andy, you got to win this weekend. Is that fair?
I think it's fair. I mean, if you look at just position and position, and you're trying to sort of say, who would you rather go into this game with, the Chiefs players or the Titans players? You might say the Chiefs. Now, does that mean they're the better team? Not necessarily, but they have better players. I mean, their offensive weapons are scary. Once you get to their fourth receiver, and
Sammy Watkins.
You're still talking about Sammy Watkins? Are you kidding me? Who's covering? Like, if you leave your big personnel on the field defensively, who the heck is covering Kelce and Watkins? You have Mecole Hardman, you have Tyreek Hill. You are just loaded for bear. So personnel to personnel, it feels like the Chiefs have the advantage. But that's a damn good team on the other side of the ball now. The Titans are scary. And so I understand the thought process is this is a need-to-win game, and it may be for a legacy play, but Andy Reid has the hottest young quarterback and the best offense really anybody has in the NFL, and he's going to have him for a while. So if not this year, you may say then win. Well, maybe next year, because they're that good.
Packers 49ers. Something that became pretty clear this year, and this is I think we talked about it, Matt LaFleur on the script has been terrific. They are not a good adjustment team. They were outscored last week 20-7. Kyle Shanahan is one of the few young coaches who is not only good on script, he's terrific at halftime, which generally is kind of a bellwether quality of your Tomlins, your Belichicks, your older coaches. I think this is a little bit of a coaching mismatch and a little bit of a roster mismatch. I like San Francisco. What does Green Bay have to do as a former offensive lineman to tame that Niner defensive front?
Really, what you have to do is establish a physical dominance, a mindset that they're not getting away from you and they want to. You know, it's difficult because they are loaded for bear on the defensive side. And the biggest obstacle you're up against as far as like the trench battle between your offensive line as the Green Bay Packers and that defensive front provided by the 49ers is the fact that they're so deep. So they're fresh. it is really alarming where it's the third quarter and you're like, oh man, I finally figured this guy out. And all of a sudden you have a defensive lineman go like this, he leaves the game and the next man in is just as good as he is. And he's got a move maybe you haven't explored as deeply in your film study. And all of a sudden you have a whole new ball game with a fresh face. That's the threat that San Francisco poses. And John Lynch has done a phenomenal job of building a strong roster from the trenches outward. And that's why they've really been so dominant this season in the run game and defending the run defensively.
You know, Jimmy G will make the, you know, Greg Cosell came on yesterday and he said, if you look at San Francisco's offense, they asked Jimmy G to throw the ball in the middle of the field and yep. It's crowded. And sometimes the linebacker drops and Jimmy doesn't see it. They don't ask Jimmy to make 12 great throws. He's not a life preserver. I do like him, and I think he is prone to the occasional young quarterback pick. Your thoughts on Jimmy G in this game?
I think Jimmy G has to win this game because if I'm the Packers, what I'm trying to do is stop the run at all costs. And like Greg Cosell said, protect the middle of the field. Force all of those harder sideline throws. If you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with Garoppolo's arm, and you're going to beat us on those deep outs. You're going to beat us on the go routes should we be in man coverage and you caught us with our pants down and you have separation down the field. If you can make those touch throws under pressure with guys crowding the line of scrimmage and taking away the middle of the field, well, then you deserve to win. But that would be my game plan going into this game if I'm the Packers. Stop the run, protect the middle of the field, force this quarterback who's untested at this level as a starter to beat you with his arm. Can he do it? We're on to unknown territory. We'll find out.
Your gut feeling sounds like you do like San Francisco's personnel.
I do. I would take the 49ers in this game. And it's really for the same reason. Well, and we'll get to the Titans-Chiefs game. But think about the physicality of the postseason. Why do we talk about the physicality of the postseason? It's because the officials let them play.
Same in the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
It becomes a different sport. That's why veteran men beat kids in NBA playoffs. Refs swallow whistles.
Yeah, hand checking is allowed in the playoffs in the NBA. And you got, you know, a lot more, you know, you feed the paint, you're not going to get the foul every time. So it's the same thing in the NFL. You have the ability to knock around receivers. So who are the Packers' threats? I mean, Jimmy Graham sometimes. Devontae Adams is a star. You have some other guys who have really helped them ascend this season. But if you have this fierce, tough, physical group on the defensive side of the 49ers knocking around receivers and not getting flags like you do in the regular season, I think that the 49ers are going to win this game, and it's because the flags are going to – all the laundry is staying in the pockets.
Let's go to Kansas City and Tennessee. You know, at some point, how many times can you get in a plane, fly home, then get in a plane, fly on the road, lose a half a day to a day of prep and rest? I like Kansas City. Your thoughts?
I like the Titans. I like the Titans, and it's because of what they've done. They're so battle-tested. You know, there becomes this war cry inside of a building when you're road warriors and you know who you are and you feel like you're unstoppable. You know, in order to run through the wall, you have to believe you're going to run through the wall. Otherwise, you're going to crack your head open. And this Tennessee Titans team, against all odds, have run through the wall. And they beat the dynasty in New England. And they beat the juggernaut of the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. And they're going to go to Kansas City. By the way, the place where the Chiefs lost three games in the regular season, not a great home team during the regular season. One loss on the road, but three losses at home. And I know Patrick Mahomes was injured for part of the season, but that's something. It says something to me. It's a place where they've had some failure.
Well, they fell behind 24-0 last week.
Exactly. And, I mean, to save the day, it took a lot. And that emotion takes a lot out of you. I feel like just from the standpoint of running into this game with a full head of steam, the Titans look like a team. And again, the more physical team in this matchup. The officials are going to let more go. Vrabel knows that. Trust me, he knows that. And he's going to use it to his advantage defensively.
Isn't that going to be the craziest thing? If Tennessee ends up in the Super Bowl, this is why I've said this for years about the NBA. You got to get out of this 7-game first and second round playoff series.
Right.
Knock LeBron off game one. Then LeBron's like freaking. It's a 3-game series. In game two, it creates this massive urgency. If these were seven-game series, Tennessee isn't getting out of the first round, right?
No.
But this is the NFL. You have a, if Tennessee comes in and establishes the ground in the first 12 minutes and Kansas City goes down, and then all of a sudden you start panicking. That's what Baltimore did.
Yeah.
They started panicking. And this urgency and this suddenness, it's so Tennessee is playing with house money. There is no pressure on Tennessee this weekend.
And they're built so well. And I have no idea why Arthur Smith, this offensive coordinator, didn't get more buzz during this NFL head coaching hiring process. Because what he's done, midseason, changes quarterback. Ryan Tannehill, who was almost left for dead in Miami, becomes a stud. The best completion percentage. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then he has the rushing leader. I mean, they are, like you said, playing with house money, and they have a team full of believers. And Vrabel, I mean, he is just coaching up these guys to be bad guys, right? You know, I mean, when they take the field, they're all good guys off the field. But when they take the field, they take on that persona of, man, we're going to come after you, and we're going to hunt you down. And that's just fun to watch for me. And postseason allows for it. And I think the more physical team wins.
By the way, do you know who the richest coach is in the NFL?
I do not.
It's the Titans offensive coordinator. His dad is Fred Smith, the founder of FedEx.
No kidding. I had no idea.
Either did I, until I was at a bar, as I'm prone to do. and I'm sitting next to somebody.
Yeah.
His name's Braun. He's an LA kid. He is married to Fred Smith's daughter. It's a great family.
Yeah.
And she's just down to earth. You'd never know. She works in Hollywood. And we're talking, and he goes, I'm going to the Titan game this weekend. And I'm like, I'm sitting next to a bar in LA with friends. He's like, my wife's brother coaches the Titans offense. And we start talking. I'm like, Memphis. And he starts talking about Memphis. And I'm like, Smith? He goes, yeah. The founder of FedEx, his son, is the coordinator for the Titans.
Well, he's about to make a whole lot of money on his own volition. Because, I mean, like Matt LaFleur now is leading this Packers team deep in the postseason. I think that you're going to see the same thing.
That trivia anywhere else.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Let me make my two picks. For the Super Bowl, here we go.
Titans at Chiefs.
The Titans are getting 7. I would take the points here, but very reluctantly. Kansas City has a better roster, and they're 7-0 since they lost to the Titans in Week 10. They've won all of those by over 7 points. They're averaging 31 a game. Their turnover differential is +6. Some of that is luck. But the reality is there's a fatigue factor I can't get over. Remember, Tennessee's last game of the regular season was on the road, so they've gone to Houston and to New England and to Baltimore and now Kansas City. I just think this is a great story against a great team, and I think there's going to be a fatigue factor. But I will say this. Tennessee's O-line and running game is built to make Kansas City uncomfortable. You can't out Kansas City, Kansas City, okay? Don't get into a track meet with this team. If San Francisco or Green Bay face Kansas City, their game plan is going to be run the hell out of the football and make them sit and watch. So Tennessee is built to beat Kansas City. I just think it's too big of a ask. I mean, if they were off a bye, if it was their second road game, you're going to ask Derrick Henry again to have 33 carries and ask this team to get in a plane again and play on the road. I do think Kansas City also creates some playoff matchups, perimeter matchups here that Tennessee doesn't have an answer for. So I'm going to take Kansas City to win 28-23. I did not bet this game. I think the line's close. I don't say this with any great confidence. Better roster, better team over a great story. Next.
Packers at 49ers.
Now, I did bet this game. I put a little candy on this. I think San Francisco -7.5 is the side. I think it could get ugly. Listen, this is a Green Bay team that's kind of masquerading as a 14-3 team that's been outgained in 10 games this year. Over the last 30 years, rookie head coaches are 3-8 in these games. I think their head coach is going to be outcoached. They're at a coaching deficit. Since Week 10, Devontae Adams has been targeted 91 times. Aaron Rodgers hasn't targeted any other receiver more than 35 times. And Aaron is 0-4 all time against top 10 pass defenses, and this is a number one pass defense. I think Aaron is going to have to play uncomfortable and take major risks. I don't think that is now who he is. I think San Francisco is going to bracket Devontae Adams and crowd the box and say, throw to your other guys, and I don't think Aaron's comfortable with that. I think San Francisco, in so many ways, they can beat you with power. They can beat you with Debo and Emmanuel Sanders. They can beat you with George Kittle. They can do power. They can go over the top. They can beat you with turnovers. This is a team. Green Bay does not have a lot of margin for error. Garoppolo, 3-0 this year when he had two or more picks. They don't have to play perfect to win this game. San Francisco is about a field goal and a fumble from being 16-1. Aaron Rodgers this year went 9-1 in one possession games. That's a lot of luck. Now you say to yourself, no, it's not. Aaron's great. Aaron's a little above 500 in his career in one possession, one score games. Last week, Seattle, Russell Wilson was 11-2 this year in one score games. You're like, oh, that's because Russell's great. No, no. Russell Wilson in his career is a little better than 500 in one-score games. Seattle was living off these one-score wins, games. You don't win Super Bowls. Green Bay's living off one possession, one-score games, and winning all of them, 9 of 10. That's going to run out. San Francisco wins here 33-23 by 10. Feel comfortable saying, I'll put a little scratch on that, put a little candy on that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Logan Ryan's a two-time Super Bowl champ, seventh NFL season, four with the Patriots, third with the Titans, where he is creating fumbles, forcing turnovers, and finds himself once again in a huge game. And Logan Ryan is joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. All right, here we go. See, it feels like to me, Logan, the postseason is built for you in Tennessee. The referees can swallow flags. They allow more physicality. It kind of feels like it's the NBA, same thing. Refs swallow the whistles and let LeBron and the men beat the boys in the playoffs. Does it feel like right now is your time and the sport now is built kind of for you this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. We're built for it. We feel like we have a physical team, physical by nature. We believe in running the ball, stopping the run. And, you know, the weather gets colder. And Derrick Henry comes alive, and, you know, defenses win championships, and that's what we pride ourselves on here. So I do feel like we're built for this run.
Mike Vrabel, what's the secret sauce? When did you know this dude who was just playing a few years ago can coach? What was it? What is it with him?
I knew. I mean, I think I was on last year with you, and I knew he was a great coach back then. He's just a former player, a champion, detailed, explains things how – realistically you want them done. I think the hardest thing for a professional player is to have a coach who's never done it before. And it's not that you can't listen to him, but they ask you to do things. You're like, well, how realistic is that in the setting? I think he's very realistic in his expectations and kind of that do your job mentality here where he informs every player what he expects them to do and allow them to go out there and perform to the best of their ability.
By the way, nobody on this roster, Logan, has been in more big games than you. Teams can get tight. I mean, I've talked to a lot of pros, and they're like, man, you get to these conference championships, and it feels different driving to the stadium. How do you ensure this locker room is loose and not tight Sunday?
You know, we're not supposed to be here. You know, they're the underdog. It's house money. We're 7.5 point underdog. Last week we were 10. The week before, who knows, probably 10. So, I mean, we've been having a win and get in since week 17, had a win and get in. So we've been in the playoffs for a good month now. We've been on the road for a good month now. We've been picked against. I remember when we beat New England in New England, every fan said, well, good game, but you're going to get rolled by Baltimore. And then we beat Baltimore. And, well, another good game, but you're going to get rolled by Kansas City. So I'm going to go out there and, you know, get rolled over. So we'll see how it goes.
Are you worried a little bit? I mean, Logan, fourth straight roadie, fatigue. Derrick Henry, 30 carries. Are you a little concerned with that?
No, I mean, that's what it takes. You know, that's what we're in. That's what it takes. You can call it momentum. We found our rhythm four straight. So we know how to pack our suits up, go on a plane, and, you know, play in hostile environments. And we've done the back-to-back weeks, and we're going to run it until the wheels fall off. We don't know that when that may be. It might be this Sunday. It may be in 2 weeks. Hopefully it's in 2 weeks at the Super Bowl. But, you know, we're going to keep sticking to our formula.
When did you know during this season? Okay, because you had a losing record, and all of a sudden, you know, you face Kansas City. Was there a moment, an epiphany for you, Logan, where you're like, we're actually, we have a chance to be really, really special, even though the record may not say that?
Yeah, I thought we were, I honestly thought we were real special in camp. We had a good team last year. We had a win and get in last year. We didn't, and I was hurt. We had Jarrell Casey hurt for that win and get in last year. And we got back healthy. We busted our butt all offseason, and we started year 2-4. And then we were 2-4. We were coming home from a road trip. We kind of had one of those internal meetings. How's this year going to go? They obviously made a quarterback change at the time. I think the quarterbacks handled it well. And then we had a goal line stand to basically go to 3-4. We beat the Chargers on a goal line stand.
Yep,
yep. And we could have been 2-5, or we could have been 3-4. So we went to 3-4. And we've been kind of having stands like that. We had a goal line stand in New England to help us win that game. So I really remember being 2-4, having a goal line stand, and winning a bunch of games since.
Do you feel like you ended the Patriots dynasty? It feels like that to me, respectfully. It does kind of feel like, you know what? They're a little old. There's a lot of good AFC teams. When you walked off that field, Logan, did you think, I'm with the right team now. I'm growing. They're not.
You know, it's not about the team, man, what team I'm on or anything like that. I just feel like I'm in a good place. I feel like I'm able to show all my abilities. And I don't know what's going on with the Patriots. I do think there's going to be major changes there. I do think that, I mean, eventually those guys, man, they had a lot of long runs. They played a lot of extra games.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it takes to be a champion. You got to play these. You're playing a whole extra month of football, and it's a physical sport. So eventually – you know, it seemed like they were fatigued in that game, fatigued this year, and eventually it caught up to them in a sense. So, yeah, if you want to call me Luke Skywalker flying in there and blowing up the Death Star, you know, everyone's big into Star Wars right now with the Mandalorian and everything. So I got no problem flying into the Death Star. But, nah, they're all good. They're all good friends of mine. But, you know, you call what you see. We'll see what happens this offseason.
1 minute left. You ever faced a quarterback with an arm like Mahomes?
Aaron Rodgers are the only two I've seen with this arm, the creative arm angles, the velocity on the ball, the ability to throw the ball in the cold weather, how he does. So he's special. I mean, we just beat Brady, we beat Lamar Jackson, but I think this is the best offense in football. I think it's our best test. And, I mean, good thing is we played him once before this year, so we know what it's like, and he's talented.
Well, Logan, you are 4 fumbles forced, multiple interceptions, a big game player and a physical player that fits perfectly in a Rutgers guy. You got to be tough to play at Rutgers. You don't got no 77-degree games. It's cold and snow and windy in Jersey. Congrats to you. You're a good dude and a great player, and we're happy for you, man. Good luck Sunday.
Appreciate it, Colin. Thank you. Hey, good collar, baby. So we're good.